if you haven't figured out what your customers actually care about and what they connect with, you're just not allowed to use AI. You need to figure that piece out first, and then you can scale.
I'm Jonathan Gandolf, and welcome to the Content Cocktail Hour, powered by The Juice. Our mission is to squeeze out the deepest secrets of B2B marketing professionals to help you push your brand to the forefront of the industry. Let's raise the glass.
Welcome back to the Content Cocktail Hour. This is Jonathan Gandolf, founder and CEO of The Juice, your B2B content distribution platform. I'm thrilled to be joined today by, I'll call it longtime friend, marketing friend. Friend, not a colleague. I want to say colleague, but somebody we're just a big fan of here at The Juice. Hiba Amin of Sandia Inc., founder of Sandia Inc. She does some awesome content consulting. She jumped back into my LinkedIn feed. I think she went mini viral. I don't know. We'll talk more about it later with Shrek. Anytime Shrek hits the LinkedIn feed, I got to learn more. So excited to do that today. But before we do that, Hiba, in your own words, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Excited to be here. Excited to catch up. It's been a while. But yeah, I'm Hiba. I started consulting mostly around content about a year ago, but I've worked in early stage tech startups for my entire career, both as a team of one and then just on small teams. And I've just had so much fun being a scrappy marketer, I would say. And so now I get to do that with even more people. So that's been pretty great.
Well, I'm resisting the urge to jump right into Shrek, but the icebreaker question we always ask all of our guests here is, what are you enjoying drinking nowadays?
I feel a little boring saying this, but I love an iced Americano, and I drink it every day, and it's negative 17 degrees Celsius here. I don't know the Fahrenheit at this point, but still had an iced coffee in the car, enjoying sipping it. Freezing weather, hot weather, I will always enjoy a good, iced Americano, just black. And you just get to, pretend to taste the beans. Not that I have an extensive palate, but I pretend to.
I am a iced black coffee year-round drinker myself, so I can respect the iced beverage even during the winter. I'm always like, I'm drinking it inside. It's 72 degrees Fahrenheit and sunny when I'm inside, so.
I'll turn the fireplace on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, cool. We'll love that. All right. Well, let's jump into the bulk of the conversation here. I mentioned you kind of went mini viral. Maybe I'd love to hear a little bit about whether or not you expected that to happen or how that happened. But I think you had given a presentation with a Shrek AI framework. I posted about it on LinkedIn and it kind of blew up. Maybe do you want to just share like the background story of that presentation and then posting it to LinkedIn and then that kind of going viral? And then maybe we jump into the framework.
Yeah, one of the companies I work with is GrowClass, and it's founded by an incredible marketer, Sarah Stockdale. And she asked me, she was like, can you go to Vancouver and speak at this conference? And I was so excited because I had never done that in my career. And I was like, this is really cool. Like, I get to fly out somewhere and like give a live presentation. I hate public speaking. And so I was like, this is a really cool way to challenge myself. But with that, I think you get so much pressure of like, you just want to make it worth people's time and do something that's telling a story and interesting and not just like basically reading a blog post off of just like, here are the 10 things you should do with content. I had done a few AI related talks around content marketing for GrowClass on webinars and things like that. And so given that and seeing like the feedback from the GrowClass community, it just gave me a sense of, okay, this is actually the topic we want to talk about in the realm of content and the realm of marketing. And that's where I can actually drive value to a new audience. The initial presentation, I was like, this would be just so boring probably, or it was more of a workshop where I would actually go in and like we can write prompts and see something a bit more practical, but a little harder to translate on stage. I knew about this for 3-4 months, and in maybe classic ADHD fashion, I just kept looking at like this blank slide, feeling so paralyzed. And then a week before the presentation, I was like, I really need to just, I'm going to book a meeting with Sarah on Monday. That's like my deadline to have all the slides ready. And the conference, I think, was Thursday. And so that weekend, I was like still stewing and trying to think. And I had a dream that I did a talk on Shrek. And I woke up and I was like, that's kind of weird, but like, that's kind of fun. I started like thinking through explaining Shrek through the lens of AI. It started kind of coming together, started looking into the data of like the Shrek franchise and their revenue, even though I think that the movie quality has gone down since that first one. And so it was really cool to relate that a little bit to AI, just around spinoffs and repurposing content and things like that, which we can get into a bit more. But yeah, I ended up doing the talk and I just remember I was so excited about it because I got to like produce this piece of content that was so weird. And I was finding all these like hilarious memes online. I remember getting pictures back from the conference, and there was a few like really odd choices I made in terms of Shrek screenshots, especially like AI generated Shrek images. And I just could not stop laughing. It brought me so much joy when it's just like me in this professional setting of like, here's a slide, here's an audience in the shot. And then it's like this weird, bulky, like shirtless Shrek. It was so fun. I got to be really excited about marketing again. And those are the moments I want to post on LinkedIn, is when I feel like I'm doing something that I'm more excited about, or just like odd and weird, rather than just like, here's what's going on with my week or whatever it might be. It just felt like different. That was just really exciting to, I don't know, feel excited and weird. And I remember the second I mentioned Shrek in the talk, people, because it could have gone either way. People could have been like, who the hell is this person? Like, what is going on? Should I just leave? But people were so receptive from the start because they were like, okay, interesting, weird. Like, I want to stick around for this. It was great that the audience too was leaning in. I think that helped a lot just in terms of being odd together. And Sarah, I will say, is an incredible storyteller from the initial first version of the presentation to kind of having the Sarah touch really helped drive a better story, I would say, throughout. Yeah. So it was just such a positive first speaking experience, and I might do it again in Calgary. We'll see. I don't know.
I love this for so many reasons. One, I think you're right. You could have looked like a princess, or you could have looked like a donkey. And that's the first and last Shrek impersonation I'll do on the podcast. Well, I maybe shouldn't make any promises, but I love that. Like you said, like you don't like public speaking, but you took on the opportunity, even though you don't like it. But then for it to like even layer on the additional risk of doing something that's weird and different for somebody who's already uncomfortable in that setting, I think is just like, so cool. Like, good for you. And we at The Juice always talk about like marketing should be fun. Like, if we're not having fun in marketing, like, what are we doing? We named our business The Juice for a reason. Like, we wanted to be a little bit different and a little bit out there. And so like, you had fun. Like, I was smirking during all that, kind of like feeling that own like inspiration of like, oh yeah, like this is supposed to be fun. We should all be interesting, if nothing else. So I think that's really powerful. Good for you.
Thanks. Oh wait. Yeah. I think honestly, also just being weird took a lot of the pressure off, just because I stopped thinking about like, there's 200 people staring at me. I was just like, we're just talking about Shrek. Like, this is a fun day. That's great.
I love that story. That has more to it than I even imagined. Coming to you in a dream is absolutely wild. Let's talk a little bit about the Shrek AI framework. You mentioned there's like an element of repurposing, redistribution in there. Do you mind kind of walking us through maybe some of the highlights of that AI framework?
I looked at it from basically, it's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. And basically what that is it looks at the different timeline and I guess emotions maybe of people who do not have the skill set for something, but are just confident in that. And that was, I think, the experience for a lot of people in AI. We kind of just like all saw this thing, whether it was ChatGPT or whatever product it was. And we were like, oh, this can generate stories for us. Like, cool. And then you get really, really, really confident where you're like, this is going to accomplish anything. I'm a genius. I generated something. When in reality, for me, it was initially just like generating fake stories about friends, not actually tangible things I would want to put out into the world. But I didn't make that connection at the start. And so I go into this second stage of this, I think it was peak of Mount Stupid, where I remember telling my boss at the time, like, of course we can scale content. I like 10X. Yeah, I have this tool. Like, I figured out how to use it. And then you kind of just go into this pit of despair where you're like, oh, I'm writing all these prompts. The quality's kind of crap. Like, it's actually not saving me any proper amount of time in this process, not to the extent of me saying, yeah, we're scaling by 10x. Like, we're absolutely not if we want to maintain some semblance of a quality bar. So that's when I kind of went into despair too. And I was like, okay, maybe I actually just don't know how to use this thing. And, you know, I spent some time at Copy AI and we had a really incredible prompt engineer who I got to learn from. But even then, I was just like, from a content perspective, it's good, but it's not like I used it as an editor. I used it to help me brainstorm, but to drive anything meaningful in terms of time savings at that point, it just wasn't like, for me, it just wasn't hitting. And so I kind of was comparing that to, you see all these people on LinkedIn being these AI gurus and like making all these false statements of like, we 10x'd content. And it's like, you kind of just have to think about it properly. and say, did you actually, and in what way did you do it? And what does the quality look like? What are the traffic numbers? Are people staying on the page? Like all these different metrics that we care about from a quality perspective. And do your customers actually enjoy your content still? And so I was kind of getting frustrated by seeing all these people saying like, here's how we've really scaled content, blah, blah, blah. I think on the qualitative side, I was seeing a lot of that scale, but I don't know if it was necessarily translating into revenue or like a positive long-term brand perception. And it's the same thing. You see all these different content or AI generative AI platforms have it all over their websites in terms of their positioning, like write a high quality SEO blog post in under 5 minutes, 10x your content, 10x whatever, drive efficiency. And it's like, great. But it never felt like the reality. And even working at Copy AI too, I was like, we are using our product quite a lot. It wasn't to the extent that I would say you see a lot on a lot of websites, like how much we were scaling. And so kind of tying it back to Shrek.
Can we pause just to appreciate how crazy of a sentence that is and how much I love it?
So for the last few years, I think maybe just a bit of background context, whenever there's just nothing for us to watch, my husband and I would be sitting in the basement and I'm like, do you want to just watch Shrek again? And it got to a certain point where he was like, no, like enough. We cannot do this. Stop. Find a new hobby. Find something like different to watch. And I don't know, it's just like this nice thing to just be able to, I don't know, it's just like a feel good movie. And for some reason, I was just always gravitating towards it. And I think it's a masterpiece. Shrek 1, incredible. Shrek 2, I also think really good. But then you start seeing like Shrek 3 and 4, you're like, this is pretty bad. I'll still watch it. And like Shrek 5 is coming out this year, which I learned through building this presentation, which is crazy. But then you also like think through all of the spinoffs. And I didn't know about a lot of these until I started building this presentation. But you're like Shrek the Halls and Scared Shrekless and like all these different ways that you can see from a content lens of like, oh, they're repurposing the story. But I think that the main thing was Shrek 1, had they built that with AI, I think there is so much that would have been lost from a human element, because there's just so many beautiful things about that story. And it's something that was able to connect so well with adults, and a lot of the funny references that they had. Like they had the big bad wolf in one of the movies, like reading a Sports Illustrated with like a kind of like a sexier pig on it. And so just like these funny things that I would say adults can look and appreciate, and something that also connects really well with kids. And so there's just all of these super human-centric, nuanced elements of that movie that just made it so successful. And I'm trying to remember, but I believe it was the fourth highest grossing film in their year from the box office. And that was the same year that the first Harry Potter came out, the first Lord of the Rings, and Monsters, Inc. For a super competitive year of content, a lot of maybe like cult classics, we could call them, it performed really well. And so when Shrek 2 came out, there was this massive audience who loved the franchise already because of Shrek 1. They connected with that story. They wanted to see the next phase. And so Shrek 2, you saw, had a higher revenue from a box office perspective. And then it started going down with 3 and 4 because the quality starts to go down. But because people love that franchise so much, it's still a multi-billion dollar franchise. Like, that's crazy, because they did so much of the pre-work and the focus on creating a story that people would connect with. They figured out the concept that they wanted at the start, and then they were able to build on it throughout. And I think that's kind of the premise of a lot of us go into using AI, and myself included, without having that core piece of like, this is the theme of the content or the topic or the avenue or even just the content type, like how we're even delivering it or sharing it. Or medium, I guess I should say. And we don't have that figured out, and we just jump straight into AI. But if we don't have that base of like, this is the thing that really connects with customers, how are you going to scale? Because what are you scaling? You're scaling garbage, probably. If it's not connecting, you're not scaling the right things. And so that's kind of the where I tied it back to Shrek, where it was like, Shrek was created based off a novel. People liked the novel. People loved the movie. And because they built this whole universe that people could really connect with, that made it easier to then go on and repurpose all of that content, because people, they worked really hard to build that core fundamental piece that people could really connect with. And then we had the ability to start scaling. And so initially, as I was building the presentation, I was kind of going at it from the lens of like, just stop using AI altogether for these things. Like, don't produce the entire movie. But when you look at the numbers, it's like, that's a wrong opinion. So I definitely had to change it, which is good, because I think we should always be open to changing our thoughts and our opinions. And so, yeah, seeing that, I was like, wait, like, it's actually still growing. Like, it's still driving a lot of money and they're still profiting off each movie. So it's not like this is declining in any sense. But maybe the lesson is, you cannot use AI until you find your Shrek. You can use AI to produce Puss in Boots. Sure, who cares? That's the spinoff. Most of the details are done. And then you can bring in the human elements for parts of that. But you cannot produce your first, like, you can't produce Shrek with AI. You need to figure that out on your own. And then you can bring in that scalability that we're all being marketed. Yeah, so that's kind of the core part of that presentation.
You're right. Like, we talk about repurposing and redistributing, atomizing, whatever you want to call it, so much as marketers. If the core piece that you're not redistributing or repurposing or atomizing isn't quality, then like shit flows downhill, right? Like everything else is just going to be bad too. There's like no soul if that piece is like AI generated, right? I think so many times when we use AI, myself included, or marketers broadly, we're doing it to like accomplish a task, or like you referenced earlier, like we need to 10x the quantity of content that we're producing and AI can help us do that. But like, we're losing track of the actual like thing that we're trying to accomplish, right? It's not like, oh, we're trying to tell our story better and more. It's like, no, we're just trying to check 10 more boxes, right? And I think if you use AI for that initial piece that doesn't have any soul, and then you repurpose that and redistribute that, you're like layering bad on bad then, and it's impossible to grow and scale at that point. So I think that's a really strong perspective and a good reminder. I'm personally a big fan of the Dunning-Kruger effect, and I love that you wove that in. I've heard like people talk about like S curves in your career as well. Like you learn a lot and then you feel like you plateau and then you learn a lot. And like, I almost feel like sometimes starting a business is like an S curve of Dunning-Kruger effects. It's like you start to plateau and then you're like, okay, now I've got to find my next like Mount Stupid where I think I figured it out. Then I go through the pit of despair and then like level back out. It's a big fan of you weaving all of that together.
No, and I mean, I'm so self-deprecating in a lot of things too. So when I saw the peak of Mount Stupid, I was like, yeah, this is perfect. I could talk about this.
This is me.
Great. This is me. I was an idiot in that moment. And I'm having so many of those moments running a business. I can't imagine actually having real employees. That would be... Nope.
Let's say there's maybe a marketer who's just getting started with AI, or maybe they feel like they're in the pit of despair with AI. Like, what recommendation would you have for them to maybe get on that upswing with AI?
I would relate it to some of the best advice I got when I was at Soapbox. And something that we always did as part of our onboarding process with new hires was, how do we get them a quick win in their first week or two? And sometimes that was like from a content perspective, maybe it's like get Hiba to write and get her first blog published as the content marketing manager coming in. If it's a developer, maybe it's like submit your first piece of code and have that get pushed into the product. And so I think I would take that same mentality of like, what are the small wins that you can give yourself and continue to build on it? If you're new to AI, or you're just frustrated, or you're in that pit of despair, find a use case that works for you and just like be curious. And I would say it's okay to start simple. That's going to help you build on that knowledge way more in the long term. And so don't try and build this massive like prompt chaining workflow to try and accomplish like end-to-end processes, because you're probably going to get really frustrated at some point. Just take one piece of that process. Like, maybe it's using AI at the very start of just rewriting sentences. Maybe it's teaching it over time your brand voice or your voice specifically. Maybe it's not even to do with work. Maybe you just use it to create recipes for yourself every week. Find something that feels repetitive. Lean on something to help you get inspiration, but doesn't require that human touch or soul, as you said, because I think that's the best way. Like, and it's the same with our careers. It's the same if we try a new sport. I'm terrible at downhill skiing. I'm not going on a double black diamond my first time. That's just a recipe for disaster. I'm going to make ski lessons. Yeah, exactly. But I'll either take ski lessons or go on the bunny hill, or if I'm adventurous, like go on a green hill. So it's, I think, just trying to be realistic with not only your expectations of the piece of technology you're using, but of yourself. Because yeah, if you dive into the deep end and you fail, you're probably either going to take it out on the technology or yourself, and you're probably never going to want to use it again. And then you've maybe sewered yourself and you're not going to want to try it again. And whether we like it or not, I think that AI is a technology that a lot of marketers are going to have to embrace in some capacity and understand how to fit within your day-to-day, because it is a skill that people are still looking for and are probably going to continue to look for. I would say it's not obviously the most important thing, and that's a hard skill that can be taught by any means, but I do think that it is pretty prevalent throughout a lot of the work that people are doing, especially within marketing. And so, yeah, I think to a certain extent, it is important to not shut yourself off and hide under like a little cave and say AI doesn't exist. But it also doesn't mean you need to go like all in of just everything you do is AI, because that's also bad too. So yeah, just start small, give yourself little wins, and keep building your confidence and almost like your arsenal or your playbook of things that you can use it for that you're confident in. And then you'll get more complex over time.
I love the example you give of like the personal, like the, I think you used recipe as an example. That's one of the encouragements I always give is like play around like in your personal life. I always give the example of like travel planning, whether you're going somewhere or you want to research where to go. Like I've done that for my own trips. Like I'm going to the city. Like where are the non-tourist places that I need to hit? Or what are the big destinations I should do? Or where should I go next? That sort of thing. Like it's a very safe environment, right? Your job isn't on the line or anything like that. And it can be genuinely helpful. And I think it'll just help you get familiar with the technology. Then you'll be like, oh, you'll see something in your workday where it's like, oh, this is like that. Now I can just apply that methodology to this work thing.
Honestly, I forget so much that I could use this for my personal life. I think I've just viewed this as such a work tool for so long that there's moments where honestly, it's my husband calling me out where I'm like, what do you want to eat today? Like, I have no clue. Like, I'm searching recipes online. Nothing's screaming at me. He's like, have you tried ChatGPT today? I'm like, oh, right. Yeah, that's another avenue, of course. And so I think, yeah, it feels like such a work tool that it's always easy to forget that, oh, you can actually use this in your personal life to help you make decisions. Even like with some business stuff, I don't understand the majority of like the financial or like legal side of my business by any means. I was trying to figure out what shareholders, I'm like, I just want my husband to have access to my bank account. Like, what do I need to do? And my friend last night, like, just work with ChatGPT on this. Like, it'll get you like most of the way. I was like, oh my God, you're so right.
Yeah.
Even though that's work, it still felt too personal where I'm like, no, this is my husband, even though it's my business. But like, especially with things you're like, I actually don't have an extensive amount of knowledge in this realm. But I will say, just because I feel like I need to always fact check. Yeah, you could use it to get a certain part of the way, but don't use it as like the proper business advice ever.
Yeah. One of the cool use cases, you mentioned the dinner. I saw somebody like they listed what was on their bar cart and they're like, what cocktail should I make? Like, I think that's such a cool, I don't know, just have fun with it. Hey, but we always end these conversations by asking our guests, what's an unpopular opinion that you have as it pertains to B2B marketing?
Stop using AI for everything. And not that I think a lot of people fall into that bucket, but I just think, especially at least in the discourse, at least online, in a lot of marketing circles, people are just talking about AI as this like end all be all, solving all problems and scale. And I think it just goes back to, if you do not have your Shrek figured out, you're not allowed to use AI. That's it. Like, you're actually just not allowed to use it. Figure out your Shrek and then you can incorporate AI. And whether that's controversial or not, maybe for those who work within AI, yeah, it is. They're like, no, I know how to use this better. Maybe you found your Shrek then. That might be what the actual underlying thing is. I think that's maybe my take, is just if you haven't figured out what your customers actually care about and what they connect with, you're just not allowed to use AI. You need to figure that piece out first, and then you can scale.
It feels like there's this weird mandate just to use AI because of AI right now, and I love the find your Shrek first and then figure out if AI can support it or not. That's really good advice. I like it. Well, Hiba, if people want to learn more from you, learn more about the Shrek AI framework or Sandia Inc., what's the best way to do that?
At this point, just LinkedIn. Yeah, I'll figure out a website at some point, maybe in the next 10 years.
Maybe ChatGPT can help you build a website.
ChatGPT can just build it. But yeah, I think LinkedIn's the best spot for sure. Or on cool. The Juice.
Yes, absolutely. We will have those links in the show notes. Hiba, thank you so much for joining us today, sharing your perspective on all things AI and Shrek. Really enjoyed the conversation. To all of our watchers, all of our listeners, thanks for joining another episode. Until next time, cheers.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thank you for joining the Content Cocktail Hour powered by The Juice. If you want to see more episodes or more resources curated for your role, join us on app.thejuicehq.com. See you next time. Same time, same place. Cheers.